Today we finish up Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians 3, verses 20 and 21. I'll be reading and preaching from the Modern English Version. Hear the word of the Lord. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or imagine, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. This, to be sure, is a word of praise. It is a doxology to Paul's God. As he has been ruminating on God's redeeming grace and love, he reaches this pinnacle of extolling where he cannot help but burst forth in praise. There are some who look at the text and literary critique and they say, well, this must mean there's some type of division here or some addition later. As if we as people never go off on rabbit trails ourselves. I know every conversation you have with someone, every email you send, every text is perfectly logical in order and unfolds the argument or the point that you're trying to have with that person. No, that's not the case. If you're like me and my wife and most of my friends, you can have two separate conversations going on at the same time in the course of texting or in the course of emailing. There's like every message has an A and a B, an A prime and a B prime, A prime, B prime, C prime, where you're just dealing with a number of topics. And here, that is what Paul is doing. He has been unfolding for us this love of Christ, and he just bursts forth in a moment of praise. And he breaks forth in this praise to the uncontainable God, the unhindered God, and the undeniable God. The uncontainable God, the unhindered God, and the undeniable God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or imagine, that we think, that we can conceive of. I would ask you, friend, what are you able to ask or imagine? What do you dream of for your family, your career, your house, your church, the gospel? Like Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Ephesians 3, verse 20, the opening clause here, the opening phrase, isn't a mantra to be recited when we want health and wealth. Remember last time we said in the text leading up to this that the riches of God's glory manifest themselves in spiritual well-being, not physical, earthbound health and wealth. It is the same here. He is able to do abundantly beyond all that we ask or imagine as regards the gospel and his bringing it to fullness in our lives. God is more. He is above and beyond merely what we can imagine or think. While we are commanded by Scripture and compelled by the Spirit to ask, God is not limited by what we ask. Our petitions do not bind Him to our will. Rather, the pouring out of our hearts to God, as we just sang, puts us in a place of humility before Him, where we begin to see His ability, His power at work in us in ways we could never have imagined or even dared to ask. Brothers and sisters, if we struggle to see God's ability, His power, to work out the gospel in our own hearts, the hearts of our children and grandchildren, the cubicle next door at work, the neighbor at war in the neighborhood, or even our own congregation, if we're struggling to see God's ability to work out His salvation in those circumstances, the question follows, are we praying? Are we praying? Are we asking? Are we imagining? If we're not praying, have we heard the commands then of His word to cry out to Him? Are we being sanctified, which compels us to pray all the more? This is a vicious cycle of defeat. I'm not seeing God's power in my life, so I don't pray, so I don't see God's power in my life. God is not contained in or by our petitions. Let that stir us to petition all the more. Neither is God hindered. See, Paul breaks forth into this praise of the uncontainable God and also the unhindered God. The next part of verse 20 says, according to the power that works in us. Now, there's a similarity of word. It's the same word in the Greek, but it's translated differently in the English, in the opening part of the verse and the closing part of the verse. And that is the word that is marked able and marked power. It's the same word. It's the same word that's in Acts 1:8. You will receive power, dynamis. Now that's not, some will anachronistically say, well, that's where we get the word dynamite. The power of the Spirit is dynamite. No, dynamite, that's for JJ. Leave that for him and his good times, right? No, we're speaking of the power of the Spirit, the ability of the Spirit. This is phrased a little more clearly in Romans 16, verse 25. Now to Him who has power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret for long ages past. It would be better if in the English we saw able, ability, power, power. If we saw that linked together. We're asking here, where does God's ability come from? What is the conduit through which God accomplishes these things even more than we could ask or imagine? It's not our prayers. It's not our power. It's not our imaginations even. And this stands in the face of our current generation. For those who would say, you create You are the creator. You create the reality around you by the words that you say and the thoughts that you think. And so you need to constantly be putting out good so that good comes back to you. This is what our generation believes and what it preaches. Just this week, I was reminded that it was a friend's birthday and Facebook reminded me to send him good thoughts. What is the theology that's behind that? It is theology. It's horrible theology, but it is theology. What's the theology behind sending good thoughts? Well, the thought is, I will send good thoughts to them, and that somehow reaches them and does good in their life, and they will have good thoughts back toward me and benefit me back in my life. Sending good thoughts is no substitute for prayer. Why? Because I can think about you all I want, but I am unable, I am incapable, I am powerless to affect those good things in your life that only God, the one whom I petition to act in your life, can do, and he can do it directly without me. Praise God. It's not our power, it's not our... By the way, I did message my friend and said, I sent you some good thoughts. Let me know when they arrive. And he messaged back, they got here. Thanks. I appreciate it. It's not our imaginations. It's not our words. It's not our prayers. It's not our power. How does God do all of this? It's through his power that he is working in us. And Paul speaks of this elsewhere, doesn't he? All the power. I work with all the power that God is working through me. It's God's power that enables us, that works through us. It's his ability. And when we're confronted with God's ability, we have to ask, why is it God's ability, God's power? Well, that is versus our inability. Our inability. And here lies one of the stark contrasts of this passage. As we cry out in prayer, as the imaginations come, not vain imaginations, but holy ones, desiring to see things that are good and better and different, as we see the gospel work its way out in our life, in the lives of our friends and family, in our congregation, we end up standing face to face with a being who is unable to accomplish these things. Us. Me. You. Ourselves. Our congregations. Our presbyteries. Our synod. Even the RP Global Alliance. As cool as that sounds and like we should all have matching outfits, we have no power. We have no ability on our own. It is the power of God at work in us. Earlier in this chapter, in verse 7, Paul says, "Of this I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power." So friend, are you an apostle? It's of his power. Are you a prophet? It's him. Not you. Are you an elder, a deacon, a committee member, the church opener-upper, the church closer-downer? Are you a camp organizer, a behind-the-scenes connector with people? All that we do, all that we long to do, all that we dream we can do and even see accomplished and done, all is through his power. God is not hindered by our natural gifts and abilities. He is unhindered. He's the uncontainable God. He is the unhindered God. And thirdly, we see that he is the undeniable God. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Paul says something like this in Romans 11, for from him and through him and to him are all things. Where are you coming from? Where are you going? How are you getting there? What is your purpose for existence? It's all wrapped up in Christ. To him be glory forever. Amen. He finishes that. 1 Peter 5:11, Peter writing to the scattered people of God, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And the church is his particular dominion. And here Paul is saying, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. So this answers the question, why? We can say that we pray, God works beyond what we even pray or can think to pray or ask or even imagine to pray. God can work beyond that. Why? Why? Why would God do all of this? Why work in sinners with this infinite power? Why operate your ability, O God, through such a sluggish, ineffective organism like the church? I always have to chuckle when people are having a conversation about the church and they start to talk about effectiveness. Why communicate this through fallen, broken, weak vessels like pastors to tired, weary saints in the pews? His glory. That's why. It's almost as if the weaker and less effective and more broken we are, the greater glory he gets. Because we look at this situation, we say, how does any of this work? Well, it works through his power and it works for his glory. It's all and only his. For all times, in all places. Amen. Boom. Drop mic. It's his. It's not our kingdom. It's not our agenda. It's not our praise. It's not our glory. It all belongs to him. Forever and ever. Amen. So, brothers and sisters, in what ways do we apply this in a particular? What's our action point coming away from this? Are you asking? I would even dare to be so bold/squishy as to ask, are you imagining? Are you imagining what God could do in this place? You imagine what God could do in the neighborhood behind us? Are you imagining what God could do in Burtonsville? Are you imagining what God can do in the footprint that all of you take up on the map? From Northern Virginia to Baltimore, even down to the waterfront. Are you imagining what God can do, and are you asking him to do it, and are you doing that understanding that it's his power and he may very well do even more than we could ask or imagine? And that he will do it for his glory. Stand with me as we pray.